Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the Android app.
Yep, or whatever, or your iPhone, whatever it might be. Today, this episode of...
No, but aren't we more sensitive to Androids now?
You felt you were...
I was prejudiced to iPhones.
Yes. Is there a word for Android racism?
Randroidism. I'm sure there is. I'm
but,
sure
But you're overcompensating.
Yeah, yeah.
You're always welcome. This Life is courtesy of Lucina Health this week. Reminder, refill Wise card. Text number 22822 on your phone. Put Drew in there. Text it to that number, and you get up to 80% off on your prescriptions. Do it now. Also, a dollar is donated to Prostate Cancer Foundation.
Is that a Rite Aid thing?
Yeah, sure.
I love Rite Aid. That's where I get my Nicorette gum.
Even though it's called Refill Wise, it's Lucina.
It goes anywhere?
Yeah, you can get it. You may get a big thing off your, I don't know, off the gum. Check it.
I'm going to do it.
Right now. Drew, 22. I'm not kidding. You'll see this card pop up.
Okay.
I'm going to
do it right now.
Yes, do it.
Okay, do I go in my messages?
Messages.
Okay. And how do I send a new message?
Put message, then put 22822 in there.
No, don't search.
No.
Okay. 222.
22822.
22822.
Then put in Drew in the little message window.
In the subject or the message?
The message. Just D-R-E-W.
Drew.
And then send.
Okay.
And then watch what happens.
Oh my gosh. Let's see.
It almost immediately you'll get a card. And also Hydroid.
Oh my God. I got a card.
That's right.
And I get 10% off at Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll go to Walmart to get my gum if it's cheaper.
Yeah. There you go.
You never know.
This is the kinds of efficiencies our healthcare system needs.
Yes.
And a dollar goes to prostate cancer.
There you go. Also, our friends at Hydrolite, this is another advance. You don't need IVs when you have this. You can orally rehydrate. I just recently did it to my mother who needed an IV. We obviated all that. 90-year-old. I'd used myself during a colonoscopy prep. Also, good if you drink too much, too, as a sort of a rehab drink. Go to Rite Aid or Amazon.com to get this on-the-go product. Also, click the banners at doctor.com to get more info. Our guest today is Anna Vocino.
Hi.
Hi, Anna. You've just witnessed all of our Michigan.
I didn't know if I should interrupt.
Craziness.
And Anna is an old friend of mine and of the podcasting world here at this
Playroom
Podcast.
We're on to podcasting. It used to be about radio. Now it's on to podcasting.
Anna was in a TV show that I thought was brilliant. It was about, what was it called?
Free Radio.
Mm-hmm. And it was about a nudnik, essentially sort of production assistant running around the radio station. They just gave him a morning show. And that was the way radio used to be done.
I know. That's how Drew got into radio.
That's how I got into radio. That's how I got into radio.
Exactly.
And Anna was the color, the news, you know, the Robin Quivers of
his. And, the voice of reason.
And it was so accurate and so well written, and both you and he are so funny.
We had a really good time. Lance Kroll is now, he's living in Atlanta, and he's working in television development there.
He deserves a good show.
But I'm going to see him. I'm going to do the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival in Atlanta in a couple months, so I'm going to go
see him there. Please say hi.
I will. I definitely will.
I saw him like once after I think I was a guest on the show, on the TV show, wasn't I? I bugged.
You know what it was? They had you help us do the promos.
Was it? I just know that I kept bugging people. I really want to be on the show.
I know.
And
we wanted to have you on, but then they didn't renew us for a third season. So there you go. But we also thought, Lance and I still kicked back and forth doing it.
It was on VH1.
It was on VH1, and then they moved it to Comedy Central, and it never really kind of found. It ran two seasons.
How does a show go from
because it's all Viacom
comedy. Oh my God!
Because it's all Viacom owned, so they can buy each other's properties and stuff. But
kind of. Yeah.
It was.
There was a big war when Carolla went from we were on MTV, and he went to Comedy Central to do the Man Show, and there's a gigantic.
Yeah, they still
Michigan's.
Get up in arms about it because they're still like inter Viacom dueling. I suppose.
Yes, they leave it as little fiefdoms that fight amongst themselves.
Exactly.
Which is weird.
That's a great way to describe
Sumner
it.
Sumner was in charge too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Sumner Rich.
That's how they set it
in
up.
In charge.
They set it up as little fiefdoms that we had to go fight each other
In front of the king.
I'm sure it hasn't changed that much.
But anyway, so went over there, didn't catch on, but it was a great show.
No, thank you. And we always appreciated your support because I think it was you and Tony Hawk who were single-handedly responsible for tweeting about the show and getting us audience members.
Got it.
That was good. And Lance and I always play around with either doing a podcast version of it and just doing the celebrity interviews. Because we can do that remotely, or do
you could
YouTube.
Actually, you know what you could do? You could do a movie. because yeah. no one has really captured 80s no one has. Radio yet.
Yeah.
And this was
no one has captured the 80s period in any genre.
We need
all the music. Even the 90s are horrible.
Yeah.
This was the closest thing I'd ever seen to what actually went on in radios in the 80s.
Sadly, it was set in present day. But doing 80s radio.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Although, I don't know if radio's progressed much since the
80s. No, radio's different now. Radio's
it's looping
different.
Around.
Very different. No.
It's looping back around, right?
It's looping back around. People are listening to radio again.
Oh, yes,
Drew.
Radio's surviving again. Yeah. But the way it's being done is very different. Yeah. Very different. And what I admire, that was like the 90s when that was it already?
No, it was 2007 to 2009, oh, so gosh, 10 years ago.
Okay. God, I would have put it like 2001 or something, but it was.
It feels like that much time has passed. Yes,
it was close enough to the 80s stuff that you could believe people could still be doing that stuff on the air at the time. I suspended my disbelief to that point. No, I had no problem suspending my disbelief.
Did you see the 80s CNN special?
Yes.
So that was more accurate than I'd seen the 80s portrayed ever before. But it was so much focus on the bad fashion.
Right.
Right? The 70s, that CNN 70s thing was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
accurate. I thought it was amazing, the 70s.
I can't remember who narrated that one.
The 70s sucked.
Rob Lowe do the 80s one?
I don't know.
He narrated it.
I don't know, but there isn't that much narration in the 70s one. It's a lot of just interviews and
maybe I'm thinking of a different.
But they did Plato's Retreat, and they did the New Wave movement and punk rock, and
that's
they did politics, and they did the education of Reagan to become the leader of the 80s. It was so amazing. It was just like I remembered it. But then the 80s again with the shoulder things, so much. How many shots do you need of somebody in a puffy, ugly coat?
And yet we all went for it. That's what's so sad. We always fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. The men had a shoulder pad coat.
You know what you missed?
Did you have a shoulder pad jacket?
No, probably, but not like the Jetsons. Like, not like it got. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Not like Grace Jones when she had like the...
Yeah. But I will tell you that the piece...
It was the worst fashion in any decade.
But here's what everyone misses. You tell me if I'm onto something here. Is it was all fun.
Yes,
it was all in the name of fun. Nobody was serious about it. Everyone was just sort of fun.
Well, that's the thing. Yes. That we've been talking about millennials a lot on this show, and I don't know if you have a lot of them in your life. But
I do,
actually.
In the
80s, I formed my band, the Chili Peppers formed Jane's Addiction. Our motivation wasn't to become huge rock stars because no one that played music that sounded like us was ever going to be a huge rock star. It was more for fun. It felt like I keep remembering back. I was just going to do this for a while it was fun, like 3 or 4 years. And I think a lot of things in the 80s were like that. I think Drew's radio career, wasn't it? You were just going to do it because it's fun.
100%.
But you didn't think it was going to be your whole life and future.
My God. I remember when, listen to this. A friend of mine, somebody who became important in my life showed up in about, I've been doing radio one night a week for like about 8 years or something. And he goes, what do you want to be doing in 10 years? I'm like, 10 years? Not this. Like, I don't know. What am I already doing in 10 years? I don't know, but it's certainly not this. 35 years hence.
Yeah. Like, that's amazing.
So there was something about the 80s that our passions grew into careers. And now I think millennials want to know.
They want that.
What should I have passion about that's going to be a career? That's different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Well, or I would argue they're saying, I have passion. I want to make a difference. How the hell do I get started? Because there's no jobs. There's no place to do it. Right?
Well, I think it's super misleading when people from the 80s, and I was a kid in the 80s, so to me, everything looked like great fun. Everything I thought when you grew up, everything was going to be a John Hughes movie.
I was an adult
movie,
in the 80s, you know? And it was fun.
Right?
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, we were all like the disillusioned ones with the flannels and the like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It didn't work out. But the kids now. But no, I think that like we're doing a disservice when we say like, just follow your passion and the money will come. Like I think it's not true. I think that you have to you have to follow your passion and also hustle up some cash.
That's right.
At the same time.
And if you're lucky enough, maybe your passion gets you a living, or even luckier, you make enough money to just head on over to your
right.
career.
But that's you have to have a certain amount of figuring things out. So I figured if I had about 1986, I figured I could make $40,000 or $50,000 a year just playing music. That was a mind-blowing thing. Like, that's as much as I would have had be making if I had a real job. And that inspiring, like, holy fuck.
And then you could have bought a house for $140,000 and been like sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah.
Now.
And so now, you know, so I just think follow what you have a passion for, but be mindful that you have to take care of yourself. I don't think millennials have this idea that you got
to
take care of yourself.
Well, you have
because I knew my dad was like, "You're playing music, fuck you. You're dead to me."
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it gave you, it taken away that safety net, made you go out and hustle.
It made you have
you
to
have
figure
to
out,
hustle.
Like, yeah.
You have to find a way to make a living.
That's
so let me give some more plugs on Anna. She is, of course, co-host of Fitness Confidential with Vinny Tortorich.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah,
he's great, right?
You're right.
Yeah. And she has some cookbooks that fly out of that whole project.
So that's why there's meat in your cookbook.
Yeah, because Vinny's a big meat
I'm a big meat eater. Yeah, we're not.
You guys are meat lovers.
We're meat lovers.
If you want the recipes.
Or sugar lovers, but meat lovers for sure.
Yeah, I'm not a grain or sugar guy either. And there was, where did I read? There's some data recently
about finally coming out.
Yeah, about the genetics of all this and fat too, and how fat metabolism works.
Interesting.
This woman, you ought to hear the interview I did on Weekly Infusion with, help me, the woman, the fat woman, Sylvia Tara.
Sylvia Tara.
The Secret Life of Fat.
Yes.
I just read her book.
Yes.
I want to talk to her.
We'll listen.
Was she great?
She was great. And you should listen to the interview.
I will. I will listen.
But anyway, this whole world, this is all, you know, I have different needs, you have different needs,
exactly.
We have different things. But one thing we can all, those of us that have to watch our diet are sure of, the carbs and the
processed foods.
Not
Let's
our
just
friend.
Say processed
not
foods.
Not our friend.
Get rid of them.
So Anna is a food blogger, a cookbook author. The book is Eat Happy.
Yeah.
And we use it here in this household.
And it looks very vegan-esque on the cover. But I'm glad to say there's a lot of meat in there.
It's good recipe.
There's some secret.
It's wonderful.
There's secret pork in this dish on the cover.
Hold on.
That you hide?
Yes.
Our producer,
hide the salami.
First Lady of Love just rang
I
in.
Love the chicken legs. The fried chicken
legs.
Is that the almond-covered ones?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that right, Dad?
I just lost 8 pounds. Yeah. Of fat and gained 1.5 pounds of muscle, and I swear,
you did.
Yes,
yes,
she did.
I swear. Well, I've been working out too, but
yeah, she's been working hard. But you're this cookbook has seriously
has it been like
it's
you've been
it's
using
in the
new
middle,
recipes?
Yes. No, listen, it sits in the landing in the middle of our kitchen. It's just been sitting there for.
And
last
here's
month.
Here's an interesting
that makes
fact
me feel
as well.
Really special. Yeah.
There's another woman in my group, and she can't eat as much protein as she wanted to, and she didn't gain any muscle, and she lost the same amount of weight that I did, but
why can't she?
I actually
wait. Why can't she protein? It's a bizarre.
It's a Los Angeles thing, Drew. You wouldn't understand.
The only reason she couldn't is advanced kidney disease.
No.
Dialysis.
No. She could eat protein.
He's going to go all doctor right now.
Okay, we live in a socioeconomic time when I can buy and eat whatever I want, and some people can't. They can't just find protein in the refrigerator all the time.
Wow.
So
now this is going to open. We're going down a rabbit hole. I can feel it.
But be that as it may, she lives in our
Drew
community.
Drew wants to know why that woman doesn't eat protein.
Well, no, I'm curious.
She
that
just
she can
didn't have access to it when she needed it.
Okay,
she,
that's fine.
Okay,
whatever. I don't want to. I'm not judging. But
was she
you
able to eat vegetables?
Right, vegetables and fruit are more expensive.
I think she did well on her, with her diet.
Okay.
But I think that
all right, we shouldn't be
eating
about
all the protein that
yeah.
I ate.
Yeah.
Was a huge contribution.
And to be fair, this woman,
I'm pointing at
our producer Susan. She is a protein, like she uses protein effectively.
Right.
And not everyone does that, even right.
No,
I turn protein into sugars. I'm sure. My
depending on, well, are you? Do you stay in dietary ketosis?
No,
or you just have so much protein that it converts
to sugar. I'm aware that the calorie is a calorie for me for the most part.
Right.
I need a certain amount of protein, but if I'm eating a high calorie input on protein,
right,
it will be converted.
And you'll start to gain weight.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But were you okay with increasing your fats now that you were cutting out the processed?
I like the fat.
Yes.
It makes us taste better, that's
for
sure.
I probably would have lost weight faster if I hadn't had as much fat as
I
did. But it was really satisfying.
I find people, if they'll increase the fat, even if they go a little overboard at first, they tend to regulate after a little while.
Yeah.
You were doing it for what, 8 weeks?
Yes.
So 8 pounds in 8 weeks is really amazing.
Yeah. It's
and
great.
Also to like stick with it, because that's the thing, you have to, and eating fat helps you stick with it because you're like, oh, I'm full. I feel
yeah, I'm not
good.
Dying.
I'm not dying. I'm not going. Ugh.
I had the cream in my coffee. I used the MCT oil. I also ate chicken skin, you know,
yeah,
on those chicken legs, you right? Know? Oh my God, I just had those in the refrigerator. Legs. If I got so hungry, good. I'd just grab one and eat one.
Right, they're good cold.
They're almond encrusted, right? Or mm-hmm. almond powdered?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
almond flour meal.
I've seen
same
all this
thing.
Almond powder in our cupboard. I was like, who's using almond powder?
Put it on the chicken.
Who's using almond powder? I just literally pulled some out.
There's
today.
Hemp seed in there, flaxseed.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of almond meal or almond flour, as it's called these days, is kind of a go-to thing when you're replacing, like if you're making meatballs or coating something, or you can use that. If you have a nut allergy, you can use flaxseed, flax meal.
Okay, so let's be a layman.
Pizza, yeah.
Oh, those the cauliflower.
Wait,
hold on.
Bob.
That cauliflower pizza is yours?
Yes.
Oh my God!
The pizza is to die for. It's like pure cheese, but you're.
This sounds like a commercial, but it's not. These are amazing.
It's phenomenal.
The pizza is to die for.
No, eating that was very satisfying.
You should start your own overeaters thing.
Restaurant.
Send the stuff out to people's houses.
I do want to do that actually.
There you go.
I know,
like Sunfair.
I can find the funding. We got a deal.
Yeah.
So
did we just have a Shark
access.
Tank moment?
We did.
We had a moment.
Hot damn. I'm
but
ready.
See, business plan because, to get Bob because, to present it to somebody.
Yeah, because
here's an interesting thing. I've shied away. A lot of my friends went all vegan, hippie, crazy,
right.
all over the Southern California spectrum
right.
for the last 20 years. I've just kind of stayed with what my dad ate, what I eat. You know, like meat and vegetables and fruit, right?
That's basically what it is.
So, but in an environment like we are here, where you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You know, the kind of
it must be made of kale.
It must be made of this, or you know, in the big sugar thing now. And I always think like, well, wherever my dad learned his eating from came from Europe. Because he's first generation born here, right? So where do we see people live the longest on the earth?
Well, the Mediterranean diets help.
Mediterranean.
Yeah. And then
and Southeast Asia, right?
Yeah. There's these blue zones.
Japan.
The blue zone,
Japan.
Right? Costa Rica. And
yeah, there's certain blue zones.
And the Seventh-day Adventists.
Seventh-day Adventists.
Right?
Right
what?
Up here.
But they're vegetarians.
They're vegetarians.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're kidding.
That's why they're trying to figure out what the common denominator is. And like what you were saying
that's
earlier, it's individual.
Zones.
Wherever they're
individual.
The centenarians, what are the 100-year-old people called?
Centenarians?
Centenarians.
I call them centaurs.
Shouldn't we look at what people eat in those parts where
but
a lot
do.
Of 100-year-old people
do? Nobody can
do.
Agree on it.
Well, it ain't fucking kale, I can tell you that.
Right.
No, they only eat kale.
Blue zones.
They only
eat
kale.
There's no Whole Foods there.
No.
Right?
Probably none of them have a Whole Foods.
Right. And so there's no toxins and there's no worry
there's no
about
asparagus water.
GMOs or anything. They don't worry about that. They just eat a certain
kind of
balanced
life. They
just
eat and just do their thing.
Yeah, they get move their food from the ground as much
well,
as possible.
Well, that's what I liked about
Vinny.
Vinny said, and this is what, because listen, the true story with Vinny was that Vinny was writing a book and he was trying to get it out there and they told him he needed a platform. And he came to me and was like, because I produce podcasts, and he was like, let's do a podcast. And I said, no, thank you. That's way too much work. And then I read his book and it's so good because it's the first, and I'm doing air quotes, diet book where it was like, his diet is cut out the processed foods, cut out the sugars and grains, and move your body. It's not rocket science. It's, you know what I mean? And there's not a lot of money to be made off of just telling people to cut out. So that's why we literally each are selling our books and like, he has some vitamins
and
that's it.
How did he get the inroad over to Corolla? Was that me?
Because
Corolla picked up on his stuff big time.
It might have been.
Now Gina's on his diets and stuff.
I know. It's so great. The whole thing is
so
just
so the word organic. I was just driving Elvis through Mount Washington, one of the hipster parts of the world.
Yep.
This little market said organic coffee. Like, what the fuck does it matter? I just want to poop or wake up. Like, what does it matter?
There's a lot
if it's organic
How about the coffee free of mycotoxins?
Yeah. There's a lot of Michigas about mycotoxins right now.
There's a lot of Michigas.
What
about
is
coffee?
So
I know.
The point is, there's an AM/PM right across the street from the organic coffee. The organic coffee's got about 9 hipsters with beards.
Yeah,
with the short
and it costs $5.
And it costs
cup.
$5. You could go get the same thing for $0.99 across the street.
Again, people have not been exposed to
no, but I don't think anybody's making
things that
fun
just
of them.
To humans, they feel like they should be able to control it.
I don't think liberals, and this is what's been going on a lot, can be made fun of. Like, in the 80s and 90s, you could make fun of me and my friends for how goofy we were, whatever. And we just, yeah, you're making fun of me. Now it's like a declaration of war.
Also, remember,
if I say, oh, when, you like your pants like that,
hey,
do you?
Hey, Bob, remember when Dukakis...
And I'm wearing my pants like that.
You got them, too!
I'm trying to look younger, you guys.
Remember when Dukakis lost his presidential bid because he said, I'm a card-carrying liberal? Remember
is that what lost it for
card-carrying
him?
Card-carrying liberal became a national... Remember this?
Yeah. Disgrace?
Is that where it came from?
Yes.
I thought it was the Willie Horton act that got rid of him.
Was it Dukakis? It was one
it
of
was
guys.
Willie Horton.
It was one of the presidential...
Also, he didn't look presidential in the tank, if
it
you
was
remember.
The same thing I do. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. And, of course, we want to thank our friends at Hydralyte. I love this product. It's an effervescent tablet and some powders. It goes into your water bottle. It's rapid and effective recovery from dehydration. Of course, that requires a proper balance of sodium, glucose, water. It's crucial if you're sick, been vomiting, or even experiencing heavy perspiration from heavy exercise. Water alone does not do it. Sports drinks are far less effective than this well-balanced rehydration solution. Simply, Hydralyte's formulation is based on established, proven science. It's the best rehydration product I have seen. And it comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade. It's available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder. My personal preference is the effervescent tablets you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolyte and 75% less sugar. They're appropriate for all ages. Each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. And for more information, visit Hydralyte.com. That is Hydralyte, H-Y-D-R-A-L-Y-T-E, Hydralyte.com. And we're back.
And our sponsor is Organic Coffee.
Hey, hold on. Our Hydralyte, I'm very, very excited about it. You don't need IVs many times now. You certainly, those portable IV things are completely unnecessary. The Hydralyte will rehydrate you, whether you're in an athletic event or as my mother just recently did, she was getting dehydrated. I almost had to put her in the hospital. Hydralyte brought her back. Susan, pretty soon, uses them all the time for when she's working out. So it's and if you drink too much, it's something you could use for that, too. Want to do some questions?
Yeah.
Some emails?
Yeah.
Food type questions? Health type questions?
No, not food. Is that right?
I don't care.
Because I want people to realize what I've known the whole time. I just never went willy-nilly, all crazy hippie. I just been eating what I ate when I was a kid. And everybody goes, where do you go? What do you do? How old are you? Blah, blah. I just like take care of my kids and work and eat. You know what I mean?
That sounds like a pretty good life.
I've never been to the gym. I've only been to the gym one time because of Celebrity Rehab. They wanted to do this jokey skit with me and Dennis Rodman. That's the only time I've ever been in a gym.
Well,
That's amazing.
I was in a think group once, and there was a French woman in there, and somehow food came up. We started talking about it. And she goes, you know, she was very French, hadn't been here long. She goes, there is something very strange about you people, Americans. She goes, in France, we look at food as our friend.
Right.
You see it as the enemy.
We do.
Wow.
We demonize it constantly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And she goes, food is good and nourishing and love and we're not too much because then you start, but it's where people in social events and it's our friend. It's something we, you know, have a.
Yeah, but we like to sit in the corner with a tub of ice cream and cry and that it's that comfort.
Well, it becomes it's a drug.
Exactly. It's filling the gap. It's stuffing the void.
It's
or
a
whatever.
Drug. And if it's love, it's all of love.
All the love that Ben and Jerry have
right,
to
this
give.
This is sort of a non this life kind of question, sort of relationship question. Will Anna help us with that? Did I give you a website at annavicino.com?
Annavicino.com.
V-O-C-I-N-O, 1-C. Right?
Yeah.
One C,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What do I do with my pregnant, hormonal girlfriend, ex-girlfriend? We've known each other 2 months and we're happy.
Oh, God.
Wait. Known each other 2 months and we're happy.
I'll adopt the kid.
Hang on a second. Okay. This is interesting.
I vote Bob adopts the kid.
Bob.
So we don't know how pregnant she is. Let's just sort of just say second or third trimester, just for the sake of argument. We've known each other 2 months, so this is a new relationship. I can't do anything right. She won't let me help, see me, or talk to me. I think I love her. My fears, anxiety, and stress being almost completely shut out are so overwhelming. Her problem with me is that I don't listen and I, quote, don't get it. The latest thing that hurt our connection is that she basically, and she says the last straw, is a vague text suggesting she was upset. I asked if she was upset. She said no, but insinuated she was. Okay. He has all kinds of rhetorical flares here. When I investigate to try to understand exactly why, she explodes in an email saying what she needs from me. She said not to push her to explain what she means. And I forgot I screwed up and shouldn't have dropped it. I really want to be with
So let me follow. So this guy's not the father of the child.
That's issue number one. And they're in a new relationship, and she is pregnant.
I've been in that spot. So go back to the first spot.
Well, she's – which first spot?
When you're dating somebody who's pregnant. Dated somebody who's pregnant.
Well, pregnant
– I didn't know.
But,
and then
all right. So here's the
– that's a tight spot.
That's amazing. Wow.
So I don't know the male part of you, but from what I hear from women, maybe ladies can chime in here, is women feel extremely vulnerable. Number one, she's already been abandoned by
the motherfucker.
Yeah. So she's already feeling very angry, very hurt, very abandoned.
Abandoned or worse could have happened.
Right. Yeah. And the abandonment, she may be in love with that guy, too.
What is love, when you're talking like that?
Hold on.
Jesus.
None
of that is love.
Hooked on him.
Yes, right. And I will tell you that one thing I learned through all these, working with the Teen Mom girls over all these years.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you're an expert at this.
Yeah.
Go.
Every single one of them. One of them harbored the following fantasy. I'm going to get back with that father, and we're going to have – and they use these words, the white picket fence. Right. They use that word over and over again. I was like,
It does not exist.
It does not exist.
And I've been married 18 years. It does not exist.
Not only does it not exist, why would you want to force that on this abandoning sociopath?
Philandering, pot-smoking loser.
Right. and they literally will get better guys in their life and then sabotage that to go back with the old a-hole just because there's some biology operating or something.
I don't know what it is. I don't want to betray my gender or anything, but I got to say...
I'm going to protect you right now. Don't say anything you're going to come to regret.
Well, I
know where you're at, and I've said the wrong thing now.
I just wish that young ladies would... not put their happiness in other people's hands. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough.
The man doesn't make your happiness. And you know what? She's super brave for still trying to date while being pregnant. I think I would shut down and be like, I'm just going to handle this situation right now.
And be that – I'm with you on all of that. But there is this feeling that pregnant women have of extreme vulnerability.
Yeah.
They're at their most vulnerable.
For sure.
And so it's for her to get angry and irritable. If you're not getting it, you should pay attention. Because as a male, we don't get it ever. Let's be fair. We don't.
No.
Men don't get it is sort of our tagline. That's where we start from. We really don't get pregnancy. And everything has to be made very clear to us.
No, men are like, when is the next food? Women are like.
Well, it's usually when's the next sex.
What day is it? I have to ask what day it is a lot of times.
Yeah. But yeah, no. And he's, and he's trying to bend over backwards to please her and to reach out
to her.
He's
trying, but he's clearly not. He's not doing what he needs to do, which is to pay attention.
Boy girl relations around my house? A couple of days ago, Sunday? Middle of last week, I said, we're going to do something next week. I want to postpone something till next week. She goes, we're going to Seattle next week. And I was like, no, we're not. It's a long time from now. And she goes, it's the 15th. And I go, today's like the
3rd.
7th.
That's like forever away. That's like
I'm good on numbers. I'm just not good on how far it is from the 7th to the 15th.
And that's why women are social secretaries for every household.
How about life? I come from a world, Drew knows, I had 3 older sisters and my mom. My dad was gone most of the time working, right? I just have always seen the executive functioning of a world where women dominate is a way better world.
I've always said that.
It's all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm down.
This world that these girls are living in, they don't see that. I always said, women want to be equal. What, they want to come down a few notches from men's level?
It's definitely an instance of giving up your power to somebody who's never going to be having you. Like, that's a weird...
This is the biological dad.
Yeah, wanting to get the biological
but
dad
where,
back.
Why would they use words like a man... These words have never come out of a man's mouth. White picket fence. That's not a word I'd ever uttered.
I've uttered it. You want a white picket fence, and I'm telling you, I'm not a white picket fence
guy. Do we need to
guy.
Roll this back to Disney fantasy princess fairy tales things that we're all kind of sold? I was in my last year at college.
I don't remember there a white picket fence in Beauty and the Beast.
But that represents the fairy tale.
No,
it represents the happy ending.
The white picket fence to me was... our generation. So many families got divorced in our generation that had never happened before. So that me growing up at 17, 18, seeing my friends' parents get divorced, it was like, fuck, there is no such thing as a white picket fence. There is no such thing. We are in, either we've been lied to the whole time, or we're in a new era. Somehow that came back around 20 years ago, the white picket fence mythology.
Well, let's be
right?
fair.
And got sold to this 20-something generation
forget
of girls.
Sold. Humans crave simplicity and stability and intimacy.
Sure.
We naturally crave it. And this somehow represents that to them, even though they have no model for it.
Right.
Right? The model is what's missing.
Generally not.
They have no family of origin that models it. They have no intimate connection with anybody yet, necessarily. And they have a society that says if a guy's arousing and fun, that's a good guy to hang out with.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so...
He makes me feel... I've heard a lot of my female clients say, well, he just makes me feel
right.
alive.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, well, that's...
Somebody
that's
else
love, that's
has
love.
To instill feeling alive
means,
in you?
It means...
That's love addiction.
It means that he's that much of an a-hole that he's a challenge. And that makes me feel alive.
That's love addiction, really, is what
yeah.
that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I need...
But
I,
isn't it
they
fantasy
confuse,
addiction?
They confuse arousal and intensity.
Well, you should definitely marry that person and then try to change them for many years, because that works out well.
They confuse arousal and intensity for, you know, for love. They confuse it.
I think we use the word love too much.
All right, you asked that question.
Agreed.
Yeah, so?
What?
So what? So what is it?
What, in the teen moms? I mean, here's another thing. When women get pregnant or breastfeeding, they love Teen Mom. That show is never going to go away.
No,
like,
that show.
I'm talking about rational human beings.
Who invented that show?
It's had a marked impact on teen pregnancy.
No, but I'm
Lower
telling
it.
You, I'm talking about 35-year-old nursing moms are glued to it. I've talked with my friends about
Schadenfreude.
What?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've got it so much better than those poor teen moms.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the whole base. That's the business model for reality shows. Schadenfreude.
I don't want to think of that. Well, I've gotten caught up in it now, and I always because I said to him a couple
that's
weeks
all right.
ago, these
I
guys
love my
are on
reality
Suboxone.
Shows.
These guys are stoned. And he's like, what guys? And I was like, the teen mom guys. And I forgot to fill him in that I'm so up to speed on teen mom.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to put you...
didn't put it in context.
No. You know what? We get off this podcast, we're going to call Butch. Butch, you know, the father of... Which Teen Mom are you involved
two.
With?
Teen Mom oh, 2. Oh.
Well, Teen Mom 1, the couple that adopted it, that gave their... That off. What's
look
that?
At it. He can't. The host
no,
of the show can't even explain.
No, there's a language
the
for adoption. There's a language for adoption.
Right?
That you don't say put up a child for adoption. Where
right.
You say
they chose to find what? Better parents
yeah,
than them
I
for their child.
There's a language.
Okay.
Is that the new proverb?
There's a language, Tyler and Caitlin.
Yes, I know Tyler.
Okay, Tyler's father Butch, the guy
yeah.
who's been in prison most of the last
yeah,
several
yeah.
years, is having slipping around again. And we need to get on the phone with you to talk do some drug addict
yeah,
whispering.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
okay.
actually sober right now, but he's not going to meetings, and so people
okay.
are worried that he's going to slip. So
okay, good.
Yeah,
but you know, it's a funny thing that I know all these. I don't want to sound elitist, but these well educated, very privileged people, right, who are pregnant in baby land right now. There's about four friends that mm-hmm. we have in my family, and they love watching Teen Mom, and they DVR it, and they talk about it.
But don't you think it's a little bit like The Bachelor? Like, you start watching it like, oh my God, I can't believe these people go on the show, and then by the end, you're like, I hope he picks Vanessa. Like, you're super into it, you know what I mean? Like, I am, at least. I'm always like, whatever, they're so dumb, and then I'm like super into it, and I would honestly hug all of them. Of course,
of course. Yeah. I've tuned into The Bachelor once in a while. I just want to kill those guys. I think they're the biggest. I can
yes.
read right through them. They're all scumbags who want to be famous.
Will you please watch the show Unreal? The first
Unreal
season.
Is fantastic.
Yeah,
the first
watch.
Season at least.
Please
and it's
watch
on
it.
Netflix or Hulu?
Lifetime.
Hulu.
Hulu.
Yeah.
Hulu.
I've got both.
Yeah, but
I've got them all.
Right,
okay. Oh, you don't have just like TV?
Yeah, I'm a TV generation.
So let's do
guy.
Another question.
All right, so the producer jumped in here.
Another question.
Oh, are we off the track?
All right, so that was that. What kind of treatment should I be searching for? I'm 22, a mother of one. I'm currently battling depression, anxiety, and anorexia. Again, we don't know how old this child is, whether that depression is a postpartum depression.
It's one.
Yeah.
She said it's 1 year old.
A child of one person.
Oh.
Not of a one-year-old.
Oh, I thought she said one-year-old, too.
Old mother of one, yeah.
Okay.
I've been to a few therapists. They just weren't right. which is already for me a tell when people jump around with therapists. That sort of smacks of a personality thing. I have one IOP. I guess I had one IOP for my eating disorder, which is an outpatient eating disorder program, which is good. You know, that's good. But the thing about eating disorders are they take about 7 years to treat. So it's just like drug addiction. People think, well, now I'm done. No, now you need your maintenance therapies to really continue to build and grow around this condition. This is Alexandra.
Wait, Drew, can I ask you a question? When you said there's a personality thing with jumping from therapist to therapist, what do you mean? Because like
distortion of personality. Borderline is what it is.
Okay. I think Anna,
she jumps from therapist to therapist.
I'm asking for a friend.
You just can't find the
right
girl.
My friend Shmana wants to know.
Shmana, if I were talking,
if you really want the real adult, you
want the real adult answer. There are a lot of bad therapists, and if you're smart and you're sharp and you're trying to find somebody that you can connect with and feel honest with and enter the frame with, that happens.
Right.
Also, it is a characteristic of what's called borderline personality disorder,
if somebody says something, you don't points out a fault, then you won't hear it and you get mad and you want to leave.
You cause chaos and
they can't tolerate closeness and everything's. They can't tolerate it. And so they move and they create chaos and they move.
So if you're moving because there was chaos, you're probably got some borderline features. If you're moving because the person's not very good at their job, you're just a normal person trying to find it.
But borderline and all personality disorders, but most characteristically borderlines. They blame. They can't.
Right. They can't.
It's all happening.
I have heard I'm a neurotic, which means I blame myself.
Panna? Shmana?
Shmana is a neurotic. But then the borderline personality is that's when you are blame. You blame deflect
everything.
Blame.
It's called borderline hysteria. You've never been labeled hysterical.
No. It's not. Is it 1952? Do we still say that word? We call women hysterical. You're being hysterical, Maude.
Take her uterus out.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a very complicated situation.
It really is.
Anxiety
too.
And depression go together, and it's often challenging to know whether the anxiety is causing the depression or the depression.
Treating the eating disorder is causing the depression. She's probably getting on the right track. I've seen that happen.
Well, can happen. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
Meaning they stop starving themselves or being bulimic, and they start being healthier and being more loving toward themselves, and they get depressed.
The underlying stuff emerges that we're being covered with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were trying to control that depression with the eating. Okay,
people do things because they work. They do drugs because they work.
Right.
They starve themselves because it works.
It works until it doesn't.
Cut
work,
themselves
right?
because it works.
That's exactly
and
right.
And then it stops working, and then they're like, what the fuck do I do?
Right.
So then
or it starts causing a second problem.
Right.
You know, meaning now I'm dying.
It's like I'm going to die of,
And so now it's like, oh, I can't give it up. What do I do? And that's why they have such trouble giving it up.
And so a lot of people, especially people with drug and alcohol problems, jump to sex.
Right.
Right? Or jump to shopping. Those are the two that I see the most.
Bob left the one out that he jumped to, interestingly.
Workaholism?
Gambling.
I conquered that.
You're right, I'm good now.
I conquered
good.
That.
That's hysterical.
I now judge people who gamble. I
like the way
self-righteous
about
it.
You watch the gambling reality shows, you're like, those dumbasses.
I like the way he's like, gambling, oh, well, that's gambling.
No, I dealt with it. I just remain neutral.
Right.
Oh, my God, you must be gambling again.
No, I never gamble.
Oh, Bob.
What? Hey,
never.
Good. Yeah, I hope not.
Never.
Then we get out of
how much you want to
do
bet?
Do you buy the lottery tickets?
I buy lottery tickets.
Dude.
Well, I want to be able to pay back the state how much I've drained in Medicaid expenses.
Dude.
No, not lottery, the scratchers. Mm. Lottery is too, you're not going to win the lottery.
I feel like scratchers is more gambly than lottery tickets.
Something.
Don't you think it's scratchers are more gambly?
It's all bad.
No, going to Morongo and losing your paycheck,
like
that's bad.
You never
that's
did
what
that.
I was
yeah,
doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
I used to take off work, Drew didn't know. I would take off work at 2 to beat the traffic to Morongo on a Friday.
You have to leave at 2. I mean,
you have to leave at 2, Drew, Pasadena, to get to Morongo before traffic. Yeah.
And we were all like, what?
You're
what
not
the
wrong
hell is
about
Bob?
That.
Why is
I mean,
Bob?
The timing at least.
No, Bob has tried to deal with traffic. He had to deal with traffic. Yeah. I think you actually started telling us that.
It's traffic, man.
It's traffic. Down to San Gabriel.
I mean, I got to get
like, Bob, something's going on, buddy.
No, but I started going to GA.
That's good.
It helped a lot.
That's really good.
Right?
Read the one that I printed, the last one.
The last one.
You took it from me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I
is
love
there
it.
A sex one?
I love it when mom and dad fight.
No,
isn't
it was on that sheet with the...
This one, the porn.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is.
We always end with a bang.
Yeah, we do.
Actually,
sex one.
Handed me the wrong one. That's the one you're supposed
to. What about the sex one?
We did this one.
Oh, we did?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do the sex one.
Do the part one.
Where was
one.
I?
Do you need to take a break or anything? We need a break?
No, okay. We need to hear know. About sex. Right. We've, yeah, gotten, says, yeah. We've gotten vomiting in. We've right. gotten meat eating
We're going to talk about porn after the break. Well, this week's This Life is brought to you courtesy of a new friend, Lucinia Health, and they are addressing the rising cost of prescription drugs. It's something that gets to me, not only as a physician, but also as worried about my patients, my family, myself. Even with decent insurance, price medications become a concern. Now, here's a way you can get help. Go to your cell phone right now and text this number, 22822. Then type in this message. You're in the message space where you normally type in your text message. Just type in the word Drew, my name, Deary W, and send it. 22822, send to it right now. You'll be happy you did. You'll immediately get an introduction from RefillWise with a prescription saving card that comes right on your phone almost immediately. It happens. I've got one. I did it, and it happened with a blink. Right now, it's free. There's no sign-up process or wait time. You just type that number in, 22822, and type the code Drew in, send it, and you'll immediately receive that RefillWise prescription saving card. And you just show it to your pharmacist when you go to get your medication refill, and you can see how much you save. Whether you have insurance or not, you show it to them, and they'll give you the insurance, if that's what is the least cost, or the savings from the Lucinia card. RefillWise, it works with major pharmaceutical companies to establish discounts on the cash price of over 6,000 commonly prescribed medication. More than 1 million people are using the card. The average saving is 40%, some up to 80%. So if you have medication that's covered by insurance, check with RefillWise pricing at your pharmacy. Even if you have insurance, the refill Wise discount might actually be better. So always pay to check it out. I'm also very excited to say that for every new user, that's right, when you go text my name through that 22822, RefillWise will immediately donate $1 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. This is a charity I'm involved with. Check them out at pcf.org. They fund creative research for cancer, particularly prostate cancer, but all kinds of cancers get benefit from the unbelievably creative research they're funding. To learn more about RefillWise and to see if your medication could be covered, visit RefillWise, W-I-S-E, RefillWise.com. But to start saving right now, just text Drew, D-R-W, to the number 22822. Message and data rates may apply. I want to be very clear about this. Generally speaking, when my wife says something is so, it is so. And when I take issue with it, I do so at my own risk.
I was like, where was I?
Yeah, and it's a call, it's a question we have coming up from Judy. We're going to do it in a second. But right now we're going to do the Cindy. Porn. Yeah, hi, Susan. This is for First Lady of Love. Nobody talks about how our young males today are learning about sex through porn sites.
I talk about it all the time.
I heard you guys talk about it. Yeah.
I talk about it on the radio every day.
It's gross.
We actually have we actually have a specialist who comes on the radio every week and talks about it.
Well, read the question. Anyway.
Check out a couple of you porn videos. If you think that's how people make love, then we are in big trouble.
This is what I said on a podcast.
You can see the pain in the women's faces, and this is what our boys are imitating. Before internet, you may love by instinct. There was nothing to imitate, no one to copy. But now internet has destroyed sex as far as I'm concerned. I've never heard anyone mention this. Well, it's being mentioned a lot in a lot of places. Thank you, and This Life is the best. Now we're feeling better about Cindy.
Yeah. So, no, but I think people tune out when we get too real about sex. I noticed it 10 years ago. Boys, young boys, they don't even know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I'm not going to get vulgar about it, but like I come from the 70s world where it's about making somebody happy and joining in union and happiness and passion and whatever. Boys don't see it that way anymore. It's about their pleasure their passion.
Well, it's about using a body.
Right?
It's about using a body like they do on the porn.
I know, but I'm
or
not...
Or like they see on Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. I'm not saying that the way I was taught was necessarily true because the Bales kids, the older boys, told me. But it was mostly pleasing a girl. That was a 70s focus.
Yeah.
You could like sneak somebody's dad's Playboy, and then there was always like a copy in the woods.
Yep.
And like you'd look at that, and that would be it, and then it would just be hearsay. Like you didn't know until you finally started.
No, but boys talk. Like older boys told me when I was about 14. Like,
would they say?
They tell you what you have to do and what the point of doing it is, which they is did to say, please the girl.
They did say that.
Yes.
Then. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I had good...
You had
mentors,
good mentors
in the desert.
No, mind you, because I did a radio show on sex relationships all the way through the 80s and 90s, what these mails communicated had nothing to do with how you actually
pleaded. Right, how you how to get it to work, all the mechanisms.
Yeah, complete. But their goal
but
was
it
the
was,
same.
But the focus was on the boy pleasing the girl.
Yeah.
This is very different than the 90s version post-porn. Yeah. Yeah. Is about the boy's pleasure.
Because of the porn that they're seeing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think,
it started very much in the 90s. Which women started, you know, engaging in a lot of oral sex on men to sort of make them happy.
It makes them happy.
That's what he wants.
It makes boys uncomfortable.
Well, the whole thing of making a boy happy not happy is bizarre. Their focus should be making you happy.
Listen, when I was 16, if a girl would have done that to me, I was like, no, what are you doing? Stop.
Yeah, now they...
Now they're like, expect it. It's just... But I always just, simplest way of understanding it was there was that rite of passage where older boys told younger boys about pleasing women. And that changed somehow because of technology and porn to boys making up their own kind of things and it being all about themselves. And then I think the girls responded to these boys wanting these things.
Yes,
I believe that.
It became all about levels of arousal.
This is new news because maybe I'm such a cynic that I didn't realize that boys from our younger generation were actually talking about. I thought that they were just wanting to get it in.
Well, they were, to be fair. But the point is, to the extent that there was information being sent along, it was
interesting.
We're talking so sanitized. I mean, we could really say what I was told.
Yeah. But no thanks. Not sure I want to hear that.
But it was good information that's carried with me throughout my years, right?
So you guys don't think any of this porn would help men do a better job?
Yeah, that is the other side, is that some people...
Could it teach?
That's right. And back in the day, back when the HIV, the AIDS epidemic was underway, we used to recommend couples use porn as a way of just sort of, you know, having something they could do together that was sexual. That, you know, it does also teach people how things work and how to minimize this sort of discomfort with certain things. So it's not all bad.
Okay, but did you read the part about they don't look happy? They look
like they're
in pain.
Yeah, the girl looks miserable. Yes, you can see it on their face. That's for sure.
Or like crazy loud blowjobs or like crazy, you know what I mean?
Choking.
Like I saw, I'm like, oh, I've been doing it wrong.
Now Susan's going to go
porn.
There. I knew it.
No, you know,
it's just very interesting.
There's nothing pleasurable about that.
Well, you know what is a great version on that is Nikki Glaser has a great stand-up bit about watching porn with and oral sex.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't look at it. Like, oh, that's no good.
It's just ridiculous.
But I can see how boys could think that that's okay with women because
not just okay. It looks enthusiastic to them.
And the porn stars, you know, are completely different than
But the porn stars then defend all that too. When they go out in public, they're like, oh, I really am into it. It was great fun.
They don't say they're acting.
They made
$1,000.
They're
college graduates, and they enjoy that. And it's all a bunch of lies.
Some women may enjoy that. They may enjoy that thoroughly. But the point she's making is that we're educating people who don't necessarily need that.
Right.
Or if you say, if I don't enjoy that, then I must be doing it wrong.
And maybe I just see things the way I want to see things, but I started asking kids how, because I meet these squeaky clean kids who shoot drugs, 18, 19, 20 years old. And I'm like, where the fuck did you ever even learn how to shoot up? YouTube.
They have videos.
YouTube. Yeah. They watch YouTube to learn how to shoot up. Used to be in the olden days, in ancient times.
How's that legal to put on YouTube?
You can put anything on YouTube, can't you?
I know. But you can put porn on YouTube.
You should do an experiment and see how long it takes them to find it.
But
take it down.
But the idea being that kids are not learning from peers, mentors, older kids. They're learning from the internet.
Right.
And there's no human contact in that education.
There's no intimacy classes on porn channels.
Isn't there an issue, too? Like, a friend of mine, he hasn't had sex with his girlfriend in forever because he started in college getting addicted to porn, and now he can't, get aroused by a real woman.
That's right. That happens.
Oh, my God.
In real life. Crazy.
We're seeing erectile dysfunction. It's sad. We're seeing because I work with a woman named Alexander Katahaka. She has a website called Center for Healthy Sex. Centerforhealthysex.com is where you go. And I interview her every week on the radio. And we discuss these topics. And she was saying she's now starting to treat men in their late teens for erectile dysfunction because they're so spent by the porn. And she has now seen a couple of cases of porn addiction in 10-year-olds.
Oh, no.
Huh. What?
I mean, it's great when you're in your
50s. There's some information you don't need.
Wait. Speaking of not needing information, Susan's about to reveal something.
It's great when you're in your 50s and you're dealing with prostate cancer and you want to make it work again. Like it works great for certain things, but you know, as an adult, you know, it's just under the
age
of...
It's not where kids should learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, those kids today.
No, I mean, kids.
Do we sound like the guy get off my lawn?
We do sound like
that. You should have learned about sexual intimacy.
Are we going Gran Torino on masturbation right now? Is that what's happening?
I'm all for masturbation, but that being the model for how you be intimate is ridiculous.
Right. That's what we're all saying.
Right.
But let speaking of a 23-year-old, here's a Judy, has a 23-year-old son, heroin addict, needs help, done everything we can. Tonight he was supposed to get on a flight to go out of state for treatment. He missed the flight, shocking. It was rebooked. He says his anxiety was too high. He couldn't get on the plane.
Poor baby.
Steven Adler.
Poor baby.
It is seriously affecting my health with severe depression and anxiety. I no longer function. I have to take absence from work. So she's getting sucked into his disease, which happens.
He's doing fine. She's doing terrible.
Yeah. So he's happily using.
You got to get her to realize that. He's running the show. He's doing what he wants to do. Right?
Yeah. I really wanted her to call in, but
I wish she could call in. But I deal with it all the time. You know, and we just had a phone call before this show. Yeah. And the woman's doing the right thing. She's crying to me, but she's not letting her nephew know she's crying.
Right.
When your kid knows, because a lot of parents tell them, you know, that I can't sleep at night because of your drugs. The kid just goes, yeah, fuck, you're goddamn right. You better not sleep until you give me some more money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they manipulate the parent's health. That's that boundarylessness with our children.
Well, it's also, and the mom becomes convinced the child will die if she doesn't save him. And it's exactly
they'll die
the
one way or the other.
It's exactly
my
opposite.
Sister, my nephew, I told my sister was very codependent. And I told her, you know, she was doing crazy stuff. He robbed her and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I heard he was back at living in her house. And I went down there, all self-righteous. And I walk in, and he's there. He's like, hey, Uncle Bobby. I'm like, fuck you, Brian. And I went and got my sister, and I said, what the fuck is he doing living in this house? He's 23 years old. He's just trouble, trouble, trouble. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Bobby, I'm just scared he's going to die. I go, he's going to die in this motherfucking house unless you listen to me, Susan. And he did 3 months later.
Oh, my God.
It's
that's
the most
terrible.
Fucked up thing. And then when I got the phone call from my older sister, I was like, oh, my God, I hope Susan doesn't remember I said that. Oh, my God. You know,
hope
but
she
then,
doesn't listen to this podcast either.
No, well, she's dead now.
I think Stephen Adler's mother was really helpful.
Yes,
the
that podcast.
So I'm going to email her back and tell her to call Bob.
Just tell this woman to call me.
I will.
Okay. Right?
But to that point, the thing we are seeing a lot of is these young, healthy, otherwise, what you call squeaky clean males dying in their bedrooms of heroin overdoses.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Because
the drug has this fentanyl in it. Tell what fentanyl is, just for one really quick thing.
Synthetic opiate.
Why is it so much stronger than heroin?
We lots of things are stronger than heroin.
Did it not used to be?
People don't know that.
There's even a form of fentanyl that's 100 times stronger than the fentanyl that's out there.
Did heroin not used to have fentanyl in it?
No, fentanyl is a separate chemical. It's a new thing. It's not a new
thing.
But
they put it together.
Well, yeah, they do it to make the heroin stronger and they make more money.
Right. The fentanyl's become available. Yeah, they cut it with fentanyl. It's become available. It's become cheap. And so they're using it. And listen,
kids are dying like crazy.
This is awful.
Like crazy. And no media covers it at all. More kids died of drugs last year in 2016 than died of gun violence.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Donald Trump said he's going to fix it, Bob.
Well, I'm hoping he'll call me. Or he's going to call you. So then I'll put all my differences aside, Drew.
We'll just have him on the show right now.
If that man will step up.
I'll see if I can set that up.
If he calls us for help, we will help.
He could wipe away a year and a half of craziness by really addressing the opiate overdose death problem in America.
Is it manufactured at home?
Well, now they're getting it from China, the fentanyl, the people that I've been...
I've fentanyl addicts for years. I mean, they used to take it comes in a patch.
I wish I knew about it when I was using. That's how crazy drug addiction is.
Yeah. The patches were originally
I'm pointing at Bob now. Like, this guy.
Yeah, that's him.
But why
he still has that brain. Yeah, be careful. Don't sit too close.
I understand wanting, but these kids are taking, they don't even know it's fentanyl.
Right.
Sometimes they come into our treatment center, they test positive for synthetic opiates, and they say they've been on heroin, and they say, well, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
And they don't even
something,
know.
Something, man. Right. May. Yeah.
Of course.
God, and I'm upset about synthetic olive oil. But like, that's literally like what I preach about in my book. And I'm like, holy shit.
How do you get regular? How do you know if you use olive oils?
This is the thing.
How do you know?
How do you know if you get regular heroin? You don't.
You really don't, but
you
olive
have
oil.
To go to trusted sources.
Where do I go for my olive oil? I don't really
Well, Villa Capelli
heroin.
Is my favorite.
Okay.
But there are good ones. You just have to... They have to go to. Actually, I say Google UC Davis olive oil study. They
Susan,
do.
Susan, you got to check this out for us. So they're not made of olives. Olive
no.
oil?
It's oh, like you're that. Kidding me?
No, they're allowed to cut it. FDA lets them cut it.
How much?
How much
up
oil?
To 40%.
With what?
Cottonseed, canola,
canola,
soy,
poison.
Soybean oil.
Isn't canola poison?
Poison.
Yeah.
That's what we
poison.
Learned.
It's the yeah. Italians called it lampante. It means lamp oil. You'll burn it, but you don't eat it.
Oh. Will you make sure we have real olive oil here? Have Anna look at our supply.
So the fancy,
I'll text you the link.
I buy it
at
Figan Olive. There's a good chance.
Okay, that's good.
Just for consumers at home. I always buy the most expensive thing, figuring that's probably the safest.
I mean...
That's true
I get
with olive
the logic.
Oil.
I actually get the logic in that because in this case, it probably is true.
Okay.
But if it's one of the big brands and it's their expensive line, I wouldn't trust it. And so I don't want to say any brand names because I don't want you to get sued because
Trader
they go
Joe's
after
good olive
Drew,
oil.
Drew, do you know canola, yeah, but, canola oil is the worst thing?
Especially when it's heated.
Yeah,
which is how we've made French fries.
Yes, yeah. That's what McDonald's
because they
does
said the beef fat was no good. We have to use canola oil.
Literally, the beef fat, the tallow, was way better
right.
than the canola oil. Way better.
I
yeah,
know.
And they're just now figuring this out.
Yeah,
I love the Do-Gooder Brigade, don't you? The yeah. Do-Gooder Brigade.
Yeah, so
they're out
now
there fighting
anyway.
The fight for
well,
righteousness.
They're the
Do-Gooder.
Yeah. They're the same ones going after secondhand smoke right now. Do you know that you cannot be smoking a cigarette in your car as you drive through? It's Castaic or something. One of the places
yeah.
up there, up in that.
Because of the dryness?
No, it's against the law.
Oh, just for secondhand
smoke? You can't
smoke,
smoke in
yeah.
the city?
Yeah.
City limits, you can't smoke.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know
past.
That.
Not even in your car.
And you know what? You know what it's right near? That huge oil gas leak.
Yeah.
The whole town is poisoned. They're
all
going to die.
Yeah.
But yet they can't smoke.
Yeah.
We live in madness.
Thank you.
We live in madness.
It is madness.
But is that...
Anyway, back to fentanyl.
So fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
It was available in a patch for cancer patients. And then in the world of pain management, suddenly everyone's on fentanyl.
But lots there's
of
pills now.
There's sublingual pills. But my patients would open the packets and suck them down. That's what teen... That's what...
Teen mom?
That's what... What's her name?
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
The team, we need
Hold
to
on.
Save her.
Shh, it's,
while she was pregnant?
No, well, no, just.
Oh.
But it was, what's her name?
While
Help
she was
me.
Breastfeeding?
The one that was a drug addict went to prison.
Oh, Nick.
Amber. Amber was in court, ran into the bathroom, sucked down several packets, stood in front of the judge and said, I'm going to die. You have to put me somewhere. It's good on her.
Wow.
And they put her in a program in Indiana.
Did they have that on the show?
No.
I wish
I would. Talked about it on the show. I don't know if it went on. I do these reunions I host, and we do like 12 hours of filming and 2 hours of television comes out. So and I don't watch, of course, so I don't know what actually goes on the air.
Right.
But the Indiana correction, I went and visited her in her program. She went in a 5-year drug treatment program that had peer counseling models. It was fantastic. She was so good. She's alive today because of it. Once they get out, they don't follow through the way like a medical system would, but
well, we have that here in LA County at Linwood.
Really,
Linwood Jail.
That good?
It's 1 year.
That is it good?
That's where Robert Downey went.
Oh, all right. So some states have it.
Hold on, I'm looking casual for
a picture. Being
it's
taken.
just a real casual.
Casual, just casual. Turn the book around. We got the book upside
oh, yeah.
down. Jesus.
Oh, wait, what is what?
What is that?
What? How did we even get this? What even is that?
What is that?
That is Eat Happy. That's the Ann Pacino cookbook that we live by here.
Did you ever think you were going to be in this line of work?
Writing cookbooks?
Yeah.
No.
I know. Isn't it crazy where
yeah.
life leads you? So how can
so
you
crazy.
Tell young people like, well, you know,
again,
I was a musician. Then I became a drug addict. Then I became a drug counselor.
I think
a
lot of
yeah.
it, we've seen booms and bust economies too. And so we sort
yeah.
of know that things eventually get better. They've never seen anything but flatline. Even
I
though
mean,
it's okay, it's
yeah.
been sort of a flat line.
But they don't take chances, too, the entry-level chance, right?
Yep.
So
That's
I
true.
Can tell people, like, just do this. You got to trust me. The people I've mentored, they've had to have trust in me. Like, just do this. It's going to be fucking hard for, like, 6 months or 8 months, but just
or
do
longer.
This. Trust me.
If you're going to do anything in entertainment, it could be much longer.
Yeah, the problem, I'm not saying drug treatment. You can move ahead faster. If you got half a brain.
True.
But that's part of the problem, I think. A lot of these things, these sort of starter up sorts of positions, are institutionalized now. And so once you get into the lineup, you can't get out and do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're in television production, you can't do film production. If you're in working at Starbucks, you can't work at you know, I mean, everything's very sort of where they start, sort of it locks them in a little bit. I think that gets them anxious too.
I feel like everything I've tried has had such a, like, even starting the podcast with Vinny, we did 3 episodes a week for about 3 years before I was like, I can just do one now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and then before stuff really started going and people think we're insane, but now
why
it's paid off
because you did all
because
that time.
We basically
there was no plan
worked for free
you had
for
no
years
plan.
Well, to like
you had
yeah
no plan.
Let and me I be, told him you have to grow it organically, like you can't force stuff.
People
you,
I know that have been successful in businesses or in sort of endeavors like this did it for well for free.
Yeah,
I did radio for free for 10 years.
I believe it.
Yeah, just I thought I was doing community service. Like I said, when somebody said, "What are you do 10 years from now?" I'm like, yeah, well, not this, not this. Yes, producer. It's time to wrap it up.
Oh, we're just,
it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah. This has been fun.
You want to go for a job?
So how many? Let's just wrap it up with how many careers we've had. I was a professional student because I had professional student till I was 23. Really, professional student because I got money for going to school. Then I ran a bookstore and I wanted to have a bookstore, but that never came about. Then I got into music and I started as a roadie, and then I looked at the bands I roadie for and I was like, I can fucking do that. It's not that hard. And then I became a singer, and then that ran its course and I got sober and I thought, I want to have a restaurant because I worked in a restaurant.
That's
never
great.
Did.
That's great.
But my whole first 2 years of 2 years of sobriety was working in a restaurant, learning everything about it because I was going to own my own restaurant.
Let me flip it a little bit. He was offered a job washing dishes.
Then
restaurants started. Oh yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
Then restaurants started looking interesting.
But once you come into sobriety and you're just looking around, like, I'm not going to play music anymore. I'm not going to be a doctor.
Right.
You know what I mean? You start limiting at 35 years old. I thought I could own a restaurant eventually someday. I really believe that. And so that's why I found the restaurant so interesting.
You want to still stick to that. You still should have a restaurant.
I really
want
a restaurant.
Anna can help you with the cauliflower pizza.
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's open a restaurant with cauliflower pizza.
For all the low-carbers who come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them cauliflower pizza. Eat your vegetables,
you live in Hipsterville there.
I go into Hipsterville. I live far from Hipsterville.
Where do you live?
Claremont.
That's not Hipsterville?
It's pretty hipster.
Yeah.
Downtown Claremont.
Yeah, it's Claremont. Pretty hipster.
Downtown Claremont.
I was there at the Flappers. It was very nice in Claremont.
Were you there playing?
No, I didn't. I did the show with Vinny.
Great. I wish I would have known.
We should do our pod there at Flappers.
Flappers in Claremont.
Yeah, we should.
I'm the Claremont. They'll do it. Born-again Claremontian.
People will come out for it. That's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
We should do it.
Anyways, there's a little French restaurant if you ever go there, about 2 doors down from Flappers on the street.
And it's good.
It's my favorite place.
But
when we're going out on the town, that's where we go.
That's right.
Isn't your wife's family business restaurant?
Yeah, but they sold it.
Maybe they can advise you.
Okay.
Maybe they can advise you on what to do. All right, we got to go.
No, but how many careers did you have? You were a doctor, you were a radio show, you were a TV show.
Yeah, lots of different
things.
He was a singer, he was a dancer.
Singer?
He was a pimp.
You were a singer?
No, I mean, no.
Listen, I didn't know you were a pimp.
He also did a porn.
No, I didn't know those things. I
would like to get my hands on that porn tape.
I did think I was
going to make
some dough. I think a lot of people want to see that.
I did think I was going to be an opera singer for about 5 minutes.
So really?
I lifeguarded. I street sweeped.
Did you do the street sweeping machine?
No, I did.
You were the old
pushing a broom.
Like in Stomp, you were one of the.
He did it Pasadena style.
Yeah. I was a doorman at a bar.
You're a bouncer at the Roof.
That's
awesome.
You do have a bouncer.
Yeah, you do.
Tallness.
Yeah,
but that was just like before.
He's got
in school.
I know, it was before medical school.
It was
between college.
But you got to see all these different worlds.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what kids need to do. They need to
see
all different kinds of worlds.
I had like 50 jobs, too.
Me
Susan
too.
Had 50.
I'm not even going to talk about it because it would just take all day.
Yeah,
but
yeah. She had
Drew,
more jobs
read anyway. Read the plugs. Tell us where to find Anna soon. She's going to do Flappers.
But let's
probably
give some advice. Kids, get out there and get any job and learn and grow.
I have 3 of them.
I just have to say, I was also a political consultant for 8 years.
Wow.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Like, you can do it. You can do whatever. Hey, listen, my aunt who has a firm on the Hill called me after my daughter was born, said, I have a way for you to go to auditions, but you have to learn campaign finance law. And I said, great.
Campaign finance law.
Another pad podcast.
It's a whole thing.
It's another podcast.
Anyway.
He's fascinated.
We'll anyway, I'll be at the Women in Comedy Festival in Boston.
I thought it was Atlanta.
April 17th through 23rd. Then I'll be at the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival in Atlanta, May 3rd through 6th.
How fun.
Good.
And eat happy, gluten-free, grain-free, low-carb recipes for a joyous life, joyful life. You can hear her on Fitness Confidential. Where can we get that? iTunes?
iTunes, yep. The Android. We're not denying the Android people.
I love the Android. I might switch.
Come on.
AnnaBocchino.com.
That's a lot of talk.
Anything else we need to plug for you, Anna? We don't want to miss
that. That's enough.
All right. And again, you can find us on iTunes. We love those five-star ratings. The first Lady of Love.
Please take 5 minutes
subscribe,
out of your day and go fill that out.
And subscribe. And also check out what's happening at DrDrew.com. New articles, new shows, weekly infusion as well, Dr. Drew podcast, Adam and Dr. Drew podcast. And send us your emails at DrDrew.com/contact. And we'll also send you a weekly sort of a medical newsletter out of weekly infusion. And
the card that I got
Facebook,
on my phone. The card.
Oh, yeah. Don't
the
forget
card. I got it on my phone. I'm going to get a discount on Nicorette gum.
Refill wise card, 22822 on your phone, just like Bob did.
Plug in Dr. Drew. Or not Dr. Drew.
Just Drew. And Hydrolyte.
Is somebody else copywritten Dr. Drew in that organization?
No, they just didn't want people to write out doctor. They just wanted to say
confusing. When you put doctor, sometimes people put doctor period Drew. Then they put D-O-C-T-O-R Drew. They mess it up. So it's just, you know.
Just for making Drew. It straightforward.
It was fine. And at Bob Four, at Ask Bob Four, at First Lady of Love, at Dr. Drew, at Anna Vocchino. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Tonight.